You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Excited to be with y'all here on this Monday after a bit of a Thanksgiving break for the network, the podcast. Just everyone take some time, be with your family. But it's nice to get back to it, and it's been a little while since we've talked and since I've been with you all. And we got kind of a lot to go over in this time since we have last had a podcast. The Pelicans have gone 2-1 with wins, big wins, over the San Antonio Spurs, the Phoenix Suns, and then a loss on a second night of a back-to-back to the Golden State Warriors, where we need to talk about almost all three of these a little bit because there's stuff to take away. So we're going to recap these games in today's episode of Locked On Pelicans. I then want to talk a little bit about DeMarcus Cousins and his technical fouls. This is something that's not an issue right now, but is definitely worth keeping an eye on as we go forward. And then overall, I want to take a look at the standings, talk a bit about the Western Conference as we kind of regroup after a couple days off from the podcast, so kind of get our bearings a little bit. And then we'll get us set for the rest of the week. The Pelicans don't have another game until Wednesday, so we got a couple more days here. So let's catch up on everything and just jump right into it with today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So last Wednesday, the Pelicans took on the San Antonio Spurs at home and kind of surprised everybody by winning 107-90 in what was pretty much a surprising game. And this is the Pelicans' first win and the only win this season, really, over a team with a winning record. So combine that with the come-from-behind victory over the Thunder the night before. All of a sudden, they've got two wins over quality opponents. And though the Thunder don't have a winning record, I think everyone considers them a quality opponent. But you come out and you just blow the doors off the Spurs. And though the Spurs do not have Kawhi Leonard, they still do. They still at the time had 11 wins. I think they were 11-6. So it's a good win for the Pelicans no matter what, even though people might try and discount it a little bit. In this game, Etuan Moore started again at small forward in place of Dante Cunningham. Still not sure if this is the best move, and this is probably something we need to dive into a little bit deeper tomorrow. But again, he started, scored just 6 points while the bigs dominated in this game against the Spurs. But the offense got off to a very slow start. They got off to a very slow start against the Thunder, being down significantly in the first quarter at that point. And they got off to a slow start in the Spurs game as well. And Etuan Moore being out there and just getting 6 points out of one of your starters is got to be part of the reason why. I think you could almost make a claim at this point that maybe it needs to be Darius Miller in there. We'll talk more about him in this episode as well. But the offense got off to the slow start. But again, your two bigs prevailed, and this team gets just enough from the rest of the roster to kind of get this win. The Spurs, after shooting really hot, went ice cold. Part of that was the Pelicans' defense. They were closing out on the three-point line better. They were clearly more concerned with trying to take away shots and contest shots than they had been in the past. So overall, you've got to be pretty happy with the victory here for the Pelicans. Darius Miller played well off the bench. Again, maybe he needs to be doing it. They had 15 turnovers. Boogie had 6 of those, though, and the rest of the team, for the most part, limited their mistakes. When they do that, their offense is going to look very good. When they turn the ball over, their offense isn't going to look very good. It's kind of as simple as that at times, but overall, for a 107-90 win, dominant over the San Antonio Spurs, very good win for the Pelicans, and that's the kind of win, finally, that can maybe get some people to start believing in this team nationally and overall. I've been skeptical, and all of a sudden, you can see maybe they're not great, but they're still good, and they should be in the playoff race all season long. Then moving on, the day after Thanksgiving, the Pelicans had another big win, a 115-91 win over the Suns, a very bad Suns team for the record here. And that score is a whole lot closer than the game actually was. It really seems more than a 24-point win here for the team. The big thing on the night is, again, the offense looks very good. And they had 29 assists on the night. And if you go back, this was shared either during that game or the Warriors game. I don't remember which. Basically, now the Pelicans have had 20 more assists in after the Warriors game. It's 16 consecutive games. And that's the second longest streak behind the Warriors, you know, kind of obviously. And it shows they're moving the ball. They're kind of buying into this offensive system that they want to run, which really isn't a whole lot different than anything they were doing before. That kind of point boogie idea is not really materialized in the same way that the Denver Nuggets do it with Jokic. So, you know, they're still just kind of just sharing the ball, looking for the best open shot, sometimes maybe at times to their detriment, but that's another discussion. But overall, again, you got to like what you saw. Again, it's the Suns. You got to put that caveat in there. But again, it's okay. So you had a big game from Jrue Holiday in this one. He might likely be the MVP of the game for both sides of the ball. He had 18 points on the night, just one turnover. His turnovers since Rondo have come back have absolutely dropped. He's been playing better. You can see it. The team's been winning, especially since Rondo has come back. Rondo's on-off numbers for the Pelicans don't look good. But again, I said kind of the key to that signing might be, does he unlock Jrue Holiday? And you don't want your offseason big signing to unlock your 20-whatever million-dollar-a-year guy. But unfortunately, that's just kind of the Pelicans situation and how it has to be. But he's certainly done that. Holiday, again, had 18 points, one turnover. One of the bigger things, and this might get kind of looked at in this game, was he had five steals, and he was mostly guarding Booker for the Suns, and their, you know, guard who can go out there and score with the best of them, shot 14 of 13 on the night for just 13 total points. He also had six turnovers. A lot of those were Holiday with the steals getting in there. Miller had another good game for the Pelicans again, 10 points. He took 9 threes, which is kind of nice to see. I like him just kind of letting it rip and having the confidence to do so. And this game was such a blowout that Omer Asik managed to get into the game. He played 11 minutes, 6 points total. Cool. It was a nice moment. I don't hate the guy. I don't think anyone, you know, personally has any problems with him. The bigger thing here is there's two things to take away. One, he's not going to be the backup big and the problem solver for the Pelicans that people think he's going to be, or he's not going to contribute much even still. He got 11 minutes in a complete blowout. This game's closer, he's not playing. He's not going to give you much against other teams than the Suns and such. 6 points in 11 minutes is great. Had a board or two, but it doesn't ultimately matter. It's just kind of a nice moment for him, cool to see. So he's not the answer there to the backup big situation. Something is better than nothing, I guess, but he also comes with plenty of negatives that can hurt him when he's on the court too. So even if he does give you something, he might be taking away in other areas. So that is a bit of a problem there. The other big thing is clearly no medical retirement, so the Pelicans aren't getting out of this contract. So feel free to fire up the NBA trade machine, figure out those scenarios on where to move him and how to get out of his contract to help the Pelicans out a little bit. So coming up on the rest of the episode here, as I reset everything for a moment, we are going to talk about that Golden State Warriors game because it kind of ties into a larger point about this team that then kind of conflicts with some of the numbers and gets a little bit interesting to really look at. And so I want to talk about that, which then comes with DeMarcus Cousins and his technical fouls, and then take a look at the Western Conference standings. Talk about where the Pelicans land. I thought the West was going to be really tight to start the year. Teams are starting to separate themselves, and actually, it should give hope to Pelicans fans. So the night after beating the Suns pretty badly, the Pelicans traveled up to NorCal to take on the Golden State Warriors, and this one ended up almost a little bit predictably in a 110-95 loss, and it wasn't the best showing for the Pelicans. This game was the opposite of a lot of their games recently, where they had a great first quarter and then came out completely flat after that. Maybe it's the second night of a back-to-back. Maybe it's the Warriors having tremendous depth because really their starter in Steph Curry didn't get their starter. Their MVP player in Steph Curry did not get going until the fourth quarter. Klay Thompson played well in the second, but without Durant and with Draymond Green in foul trouble, all of a sudden in the first quarter, it looked like the Pels might be able to win this game. But David West is still there. They still have some tremendous backups, and those guys really took it to the Pelicans, who just frankly might have been tired on the second night of a back-to-back, walking into a situation where they weren't expected to win whatsoever. So again, great first quarter for the Pelicans. After that, really, really struggled. Holiday had 17 points in the first quarter, just seven after that for a total of seven. Each one more, and as I've just been saying, maybe he shouldn't be starting, of course, comes out in this game, puts up 16 points, makes it look like, yeah, he should be starting. This is where some interesting things happened, and Boogie got in foul trouble early on, so did Draymond Green, but he got in foul trouble and had to sit. And I know the on-off numbers with Cousins on and Davis together like look really good. Then, you know, Boogie's numbers when he's out there by himself don't look good compared to the same lineups with AD that then do look good when it's the same four players around him. So kind of these numbers are interesting and they can kind of give you a lot to talk about with the team. And of course, we will be talking about these later in the week here. But you can still see, even if his on-off numbers don't look that great with him just on the court by himself, they certainly need to have him because there just wasn't enough offensive punch for the Pelicans without him. The bench totaled 10 points by itself, and that was just two guys, and Darius Miller scoring six and Tony Allen scoring four. 10 total bench points isn't going to get it done when your second-best player in DeMarcus Cousins only puts up 15. You're going to lose. It's a bit of a recipe for disaster. And that's what happened here. Again, it shows they need another backup big or another scorer in some capacity who can kind of handle the load a little bit. And, you know, what's interesting with this is late in the game when it was a blowout, Boogie got called for a tech, and this gives him five technical fouls on the season. He's been called for six. The one in the opening game against Memphis on the road was rescinded, so he's at five. Players get suspended, I think it's after 15 or 16 technical fouls for games. So he's about a third of the way there. This is worth keeping an eye on because their final 10 games for the Pelicans, they have the Lakers at home, they're on the road to Houston, then they've got Portland at home, on the road to Cleveland, then OKC and Memphis at home, on the road to Phoenix, that's a win. Then they're on the road again, back to Golden State, then the Clippers on the road, and then finishing up the season with the Spurs at home. What if he misses a game because of the suspension or misses potentially two games due to another suspension? We see what happens when the Pelicans don't get a lot out of him. They just, again, don't have the scoring punch. This is a bit of a concern. You are being blown out. And you get baited into a technical foul when Draymond Green kind of winked and blew a kiss at him. And there's just no need for it. You know this. You know you're not going to get these calls going your way. We talked about this. You have this reputation that if you're going to jaw at the refs, they're going to be quick to kind of pull the trigger here with you. So you need to snap out of this kind of petty mindset and be the bigger man, which, again, is not easy. And it's one thing if a fan's yelling at you, which they shouldn't be doing, and saying horrible things. It's another thing when a guy baits you into one. You got to be better than that. And potentially, this could hurt the Pelicans down the line. And we're going to talk about it after I do the reset coming up here, because the Western Conference is still competitive. You might be fighting for playoff seeding. You might be playing just to get into the playoffs. So I think that's less likely now. I think almost assuredly, it's a bit early to say that, I guess. But it looks like the Pelicans should be safe. We're going to talk about it when we look at the standings here in a minute. But frankly, again, we've seen what happens when he doesn't play well and the bench doesn't have enough of the players they need really to get going and overcome it. So we need Boogie to be just a little bit smarter. I've been his biggest fan all year. He's played very well. I've said at times he's maybe the MVP of the team over Anthony Davis and has carried them single-handedly to a win, particularly that win against the Kings, his former team, in Sacramento. Man, these little things drive you absolutely crazy. So again, five technical fouls this season. Worth keeping an eye on to find out exactly, you know, maybe if this can end up hurting the Pelicans in the long run. Hey, don't forget, there's a lot going around the NBA constantly, whether it's injuries, rumors for trades, trying to figure out which teams are going to make the playoffs. The Locked On NBA podcast is covering all of that for you, bringing you insight you're not going to get anywhere else. And it's just once a week. Definitely subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast just to catch up and know the biggest storylines going on around the NBA. So before we wrap up here, I just want to take a look at the standings and kind of see that maybe the Pelicans, despite kind of still being an uneven team and a team that I'm not completely sold on, and you can make the playoffs and not be a good team. We've seen that. And I wonder if that's potentially the case here. But they also could make the playoffs and just be good, and it can be as simple as that. They're a couple games above 500, and that's kind of their ceiling this year. When you look at the West, in the Western Conference, the top two teams clearly are separating themselves. You've got Houston at 15-4 and Golden State at 15-5. Those are the two best teams. Let's not even lie here. After that, it hits San Antonio in the three spot, and then you've kind of got, you know, a number of teams, including the Pelicans, fighting in these next five spots. San Antonio is three at 12-7. Minnesota's four at 12-8. Portland's tied for fourth with them at 12-8. Denver is 11-8. And then the Pelicans are seventh at 11-9. Then there's a bit of a drop by two wins. You get two teams with a losing record who are kind of fighting for the next handful of spots. You've got Utah at 9-11 in as the eighth seed right now. OKC's right behind them at 8-11. The Lakers are 8-11. The Clippers are then 7-11 at 11th in the Western Conference. Memphis is 7-12, and Phoenix is 7-14. Then you've got Sacramento and Dallas holding down the bottom with five wins apiece. Right now, the Clippers and Memphis are in a bit of a free fall situation. I think Memphis has lost like eight straight or something like that. The Clippers are somewhere around that too. I don't have the record up in front of me. So let's say they're going to probably fall out of the playoff race. So they're not competing for that eighth spot anymore in that kind of second big group there. You've got Phoenix, who I don't think anyone believes in over the course of the year. We've seen it. They got killed by the Pelicans. Let's remove them. So fighting for the eighth spot we have right now is Utah, OKC, and the Lakers. Again, Lakers are probably about a year away from fighting for the playoffs, not necessarily getting in, but being competitive in there, leaving Utah and OKC kind of fighting right now, in my opinion, for that eighth and ninth seed. OKC, you've got to figure, is going to get it together with the talent. You have to figure they're still going to be in the playoffs. Maybe not as the four seed that I would have predicted them in to start the year. Utah is still cruising kind of at 9-11, but they're without Rudy Gobert, who is a big offensive threat for him. Obviously, then one of the best defensive players in the league, but I really liked his offense too. So you've got to wonder if they're going to stay. Portland and Denver seem like they're going to be around all year long. So do the Pelicans. So if you kind of remove Utah from the equation, you've got eight teams. And it's just kind of, where do they slot in and where do the tiers in the Western Conference within those eight seeds develop? But I think it's kind of safe to say that the Pelicans are certainly there and looking to be a playoff team. And at the very worst, they're going to be fighting for the eighth spot with maybe one other team in Utah and maybe OKC. But again, there's more talent here right now than Utah, though I think Utah, when fully healthy, might have a little bit more top to bottom. But it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out. But you're starting to see some teams kind of differentiate themselves, some tiers start to develop, and some teams that were in early playoff contention starting to fall out. The Pelicans are not one of them. They might not be a great team. They might not even really be a very good team or just a good team in general. But they're certainly good enough to remain in those eight spots when it comes to the Western Conference. So that's kind of the standings right now. I wanted to take a look. We can add some perspective to it. So that's going to do it for your Monday edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget to subscribe however you get your podcast from. You just got to click a button on iTunes. It is super easy. And speaking of iTunes, please rate it 5 stars. Leave a comment. That does make a big difference and helps keep this free for you all in 5 days a week. No paywall, no nothing like that. You got to hear me read an ad or two on occasion. It's a small price to pay. Subscribing, leaving a 5-star review is a big deal as well. So please do that and follow it on social media at Locked On Pels on Twitter, as well as searching for the Locked On Pelicans Facebook page and just giving it a quick like, 30 seconds total. We've got a bit of a slow next 2 days since the Pelicans don't play till Wednesday. So let's try and do a mailbag for one of the days. So tweet me or you can email me. It's lockedonpels@gmail.com. Any questions you have about your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, we'll take some of them here, answer them on the podcast. Maybe we'll get some guests to answer as well and see what we can do. But it should be a lot of fun. Let's kind of clear up some misconceptions, talk about this team, talk about what you guys want to hear. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.